Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I want to talk to you today about finding the right one. Finding the right one. A man was walking along a California beach and he was in deep prayer. And suddenly he said out loud, "Lord, grant me just one wish." The sky clouded above his head, and in a booming voice, the Lord said, "Because you have tried to be faithful to me in all of your ways, I will grant you one wish." The man said, "Lord, would you build a bridge to Hawaii so I can drive over anytime I want?" The Lord said, "My son, your request is very materialistic. Think of the logistics of that kind of undertaking, the supports required to reach the bottom of the ocean, the concrete and all the steel that it would take. I can do it, but it's hard for me to justify your desire for such a worldly thing. Take a little more time and think of another wish, a wish that you think would honor and glorify me." So the man thought about it for a while, and then he finally said, "Lord, I just wish I could understand women. I want to know how they feel inside. I want to know what they're thinking when they give me the silent treatment. I want to know why they cry and what they mean when they say, 'Oh, nothing.' And I want to know, how can I make a woman truly happy?" After a few minutes, God said, "Now about that bridge, do you want it 2 lanes or do you want it 4? Some of you husbands have that nervous laughter right now, like, is this okay? You know, I love what one of the writers of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 30, you can look it up later. In Proverbs 30, the writer says this: "There are 3 things that amaze me. Yes, 4 things that I don't understand." I mean, it's a big deal when a writer in the Bible says, "I don't understand." And he lists several things. And the last thing on his list of what he doesn't understand is how a man loves a woman. You see, for centuries, we've been trying to unlock the mystery of romantic love. Now, let me ask you this question. How many married people do we have in the house this morning? Married. Come on, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Come on, you're married. You're loving life. You're married, loving life, and you still haven't figured it all out. Come on, keep your hands up just for a minute. Yeah, a lot of single people are looking around and they're like, "What?" Okay, you can put your hands down. I wonder, how many single folk do we have? Oh yeah, keep your hands up. Now, if you're saved, you're single, and you're searching, come on, keep your hand up right here. Now look around, church, look around. Yeah, keep your hand up. I'm trying to help you out. Come on, you're scoping, you're hoping. I know how that works. Maybe you're single today and you're believing that this is your breakthrough day. Finally, in this family series, thank you, Pastor Mike, you're going to tell me how to find the right one. Maybe you're here and you're single again. And you're thinking, "Mike, where have you been?" Maybe you might be thinking, "I could have used this message about 10 or 15 years ago." Maybe some of you are parents or grandparents, and you understand how important that next generation is. Some of you are already making plans now. You're going to buy a copy of this sermon because you know several people who need to hear how to find the right one. You know, it's interesting to me, Rachel and I, we had the privilege of being able to serve your teenagers the first 10 years of this church. And in 10 years of ministry and all of the experiences, we did the summer camps. Man, I've preached hundreds of messages. We did lock-ins. We did campus ministry. Had the time of my life. In fact, I feel like once you're a youth pastor, you're always a youth pastor. Man, I bleed next generation. But it's interesting to me how in 10 years of youth ministry, the number one questions that kids would ask me, it wasn't, "Man, how do you preach such awesome messages? It wasn't, hey, Mike, tell me about your prayer life. It's just incredible. I need to learn from that. Or it wasn't, hey, Mike, tell me how to witness to all my lost friends. Now, they did ask those questions. But by far, the number one question teenagers asked me, Pastor Mike, how did you know Rachel was the one? You can tell they just got back from camp, can't you? How did you know? And you know, it's kind of, I kind of reconsidered all of that. I wonder if, you know, maybe they looked at me and then they looked at her and they're thinking, if God can do that for him, there's hope for me. Come on, somebody. That moment, how do you know all of a sudden when there's chemistry in a relationship and it reaches the tipping point and boom, he's the one. She's the one. I mean, we all have different ideas of what this moment looks like. I thought it would be cool this morning to show you a picture of a couple that all of us have looked up to. Over the years, all of us have admired this couple at one time in our lives. In fact, they've kind of set the bar of what romantic love can be. In fact, I want you to direct your attention to the screen and check out one of the classic love stories of all time.
Far out, down in the drift, Lotso.
So, who's ready for Ken's dream tour?
Let's show our new friends where they'll be staying.
Folks, if you want to step right this way.
Hi, I'm Ken.
Barbie.
I would have remembered.
Will I see you again?
Oh, I'll see you tonight. In my dreams.
Ken, let's get a move on.
Barbie, come with me. Live in my dream house. I know it's crazy. I know we just met. Ah, heck, you don't know me from G.I. Joe, but when I look at you, I feel like we were made for each other.
Yay!
Yes!
Ken?
Coming, Lotso! Whoa!
That gets me every time. I mean, don't you wish finding the right one was that easy? I mean, there you are in a crowded room, and then you look across all of the sea of people, and boom, you lock eyes. And there he is. You're a hunk of burning love. And music. How many of you ever wished that you could go through life and there was like instant theme music for a certain situation? It's like, man, there's music. The heavenly choir is singing the hallelujah chorus. And there it is. It's destiny. You know that you know you were meant to be together. And you're going to ride off into the sunset of eternal marital bliss on the back of a dump truck with a purple teddy bear. But unfortunately, love doesn't always play out like that, does it? I mean, sometimes love can be confusing. Can I have a good amen? Sometimes there's a whole lot of guesswork. It may not be love at first sight. Maybe your story of relationships doesn't look like Ken and Barbie. Maybe it's full of bumps and bruises and a whole lot of awkward moments. Maybe your relationship can be better characterized by this scene.
Look at that. That could have been you with that arm around her. So, you want me to set you up?
You're all the same, Mike.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry. My brain stopped. You know, you ever have one of those days? Going along and stop. Yeah, here I am standing here, your own private Greek statue.
Could I get some more coffee, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. Come on, can you clap your hands for reality? Awkward. Don't you love those awkward moments in a relationship? That's probably more true than anything. You know, but the truth is this. Outside of your decision to follow Jesus Christ, the decision on who you're going to marry is one of the most important decisions of your life. And if you're to study statistics, and you know this as well as I do, they say that half of all marriages end in divorce. And that's not just a secular statistic. That's true for those outside of church, but it's also true for those inside of church. How many of you know when half of all marriages fail, we have a problem? This is a huge issue to talk about, and I felt like it was important for us to talk about it in church. And you know, they say the top three married arguments. If you're married, the top three problems center, and we know this. You know what those are. The top three married problems are what? Sex, money, and communication, right? Guys want more sex. Girls want more money. Nobody wants to talk about it. Pastor Johnny, was that all right, man? He's giving me a thumbs up. Okay. Hey, I talked to a guy the other day. He said, Mike, my marriage is like a three-ring circus. He said, first was the engagement ring, then the wedding ring, and now it's the suffering. Well, here's what I want us to talk about this morning. That finding the right one, if it's so important, and sometimes statistics can be against the average marriage, I want to encourage you today, finding the right one doesn't have to hurt. Can I have a good amen? Amen. In fact, let's look at the scriptures in Genesis chapter 24. I think there's no better place to look when you talk about relationships and romantic love than God's word. And in Genesis chapter 24, there's a great story here. The story of how Isaac finds a wife. In fact, Genesis 24, look at verse 1. And this whole chapter, I don't have time to read all of it, but I think this is a great study for relationships. Even though culture is different and customs are a little different, there's a lot of truth that we can extract through this chapter on relationships. Genesis 24, verse 1, the Bible says this, Abraham was now a very old man. The Lord had blessed him in every way. One day, Abraham said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh. How many of you are glad that when you make a promise today, you can just shake your hands, right? I make a promise to a man, but I'm not putting my hand on his thigh. It says, take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh. Look at verse 3. Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. You see, Abraham realized how important relationships were, not just for him, but for his children. And he tells his servant, don't let him pick one of these chicks here. Hey, listen, if you're going to find the right one, how many of you know it's important that you look in the right place? He says, don't let them marry any of these Canaanite girls. They're godless. They have no fear of the Lord. They're pagan. In fact, here's what he told him. He said, instead, go to my homeland. Go to my people, the people who are of faith, those who understand God. He says, go back to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife for my son, Isaac, there. Now, as this story plays out, you'll see the servant, he begins to say, well, what if I go back and I can't find anyone? That's a question I think a lot of single and single again are asking. What if I can't find anybody? Look at what Abraham's response was. Skip on down to verse 7. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who spoke to me from my father's house in my native land, he solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife for my son there. Do you see the sovereign element in all of this? I mean, Abraham's servant was on an assignment, but even Abraham knew that it was the God factor that was going to bring success. And so here's what the servant does. He says, okay, in his journey, he's going back to Abraham's native land, and he's praying, and he's saying, God, give me success. There's my assignment. Lord, I pray you'd give me favor. Help me to find a wife for this son of my master. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down to the local well, the spring where girls are drawing up water. If I'm there and this girl offers me a drink of water, but not just me, all of my animals, if she'll water all of my animals too, then I'll take this as a sign that God's hand is in it. Look at verse 15. Before he had finished praying, he saw a young woman named Rebecca. I like that. Rebecca. There was a young woman named Rebecca coming out with her water jug on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, was the son of Abraham's brother Nahor and his wife Milcah. Verse 16, Rebecca was very beautiful. She was old enough to be married. There was a maturity factor. And she was still a virgin. Purity. She went down to the spring, filled up her jug, came up again, running over to the servant who said, please give me a drink of water from your jug. Look at verse 18. Yes, my Lord, she answered. You can have a drink. She quickly lowered her jug from her shoulder and gave him a drink. When she had given him a drink, she offers, watch what she says, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they've had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jug into the watering trough and ran back to the well to draw water for all of his camels. Verse 21, the servant watched her in silence. Now check out this scene. She's getting water, not just for him, but for all of the animals that are with him. Now I had to study this because I'm not an expert when it comes to camels. But this little lesson in camelology 101, okay? They say that the average camel can drink 40 gallons of water in a day. That's the average camel. I mean, that's the kind of the mediocre camel. 40 gallons of water. This servant had 10 camels. If one can drink 40, how many gallons of water is that for a pack of 10? There you go. It's summertime, but you still got your math right. 400 gallons of water. Ladies, how many of you, when you go to the grocery store and you buy a couple gallons of milk, you pull up in the driveway and you're thinking, he'd better be here helping me with these groceries. 400 gallons. Now, 1 gallon is about 8 pounds. 400 gallons, 3,200 pounds of water. This girl, this chick, Rebecca, she can work. And you know what's funny? The Bible says that the servant just kind of sat there and watched. How long do you think it took Rebecca to water all of those camels? She has a pitcher that's maybe 3 gallons. If she's got to dip out 400 gallons of water, that's over 130 trips back and forth. Can you see the servant? Go, you're doing great. Over 3.5 hours. Now think about this. How many of you know sometimes it's a sacrifice to get a drink of water for somebody? Oh, don't act all religious and holy up in here. Husbands, I know how it is. You sit at that table and you know your glass is on empty, but you're not moving. And you wait until she stands up. Oh, baby, while you were up, are you with me? It's strategic. It's one of those moments. While you were up, oh, get your own water. And Rebecca here is serving not just this man, but all of these animals. In fact, you read the rest of the story, the Bible says, all of a sudden the servant's like, this is the one. He gives her gold jewelry. She goes back to her family. They explain the story. And basically her family's like, this is the Lord. This is God. And you know, I have 3 children. And my oldest, my daughter Alexa, she just turned 13 on Thursday. Teenagers. How many of you had teenagers at your house? Oh, let's have a prayer meeting right after this service. But I remember when she was 5 years old, Alexa and I were running some errands. And in the middle of the day, we decided to stop and have lunch. And so we pulled up to this little sandwich shop. And I got out of the car and I ran around and I opened the door for her. She's 5 years old. She looks at me and she says, Dad, is this a date? I said, well, yes, it is. Like I had meant to do that, you know, but I really didn't. And so we walk in walk in, we're ordering, and you know, she gets her sandwich and I get mine. I'm seated across from her. She just seemed to be so pleased to be on a date with her dad. So I asked her, I said, "Lexa, what's a date?" She got embarrassed. She said, "Well, it's when a guy and a girl get together." I was getting nervous when she said that. "And they run off and hide so they can kiss." No. I don't know what you just described, but that is not a date. In fact, when you, and I started this conversation, I feel like here's a teaching moment. Here is an opportunity to help her understand what a date is. I said, "Alexa, when you turn about 47 years old, 47, write that down, 47, you're going to start to develop these feelings for boys, okay? Now, I know boys have cooties and it's really gross right now, but there's coming a day, 57, you're going to be interested in guys. And let me tell you, the first guy that pulls up into my driveway and honks his horn expecting you to come out, I'm going to answer the door with a shotgun." And I figure that I could shoot him and leave his body right there on the doorstep to serve as a warning to all these other potential boyfriends of what it's going to take to date my daughter. And all the dads said, "I love it. Love it." I don't know if she was really dialed into all of that, but I was feeling passionate about that. So I told her, "Look, a girl should never have to open the door for herself." I know it's a no-brainer, but some of us need to be educated. We need to be encouraged in that area. So we talk 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever. Get back in the car. We're rolling back home. I get out of the car. I'm looking for my keys. I'm trying to unlock the door. I can't find Alexa. I look back. She's in the car doing like this. "Dad, you said that a girl should never have to open the door by herself." How many of you know with three women in my life, I'm opening a whole lot of doors? So I felt like it would be good today. What I tell my children, I would tell your children. I would tell teenagers and young adults. I would tell those who are single, young professional, and single again. Here are four things when it comes to finding the right one that you need to know. And I want you to jot these down. Number one, I think this is the starting point for this discussion. Number one. You are a person of incredible value, complete in Christ. All you singles, please hear that. You're a person of incredible value. God cares about you, and you are complete in Jesus. You see, we live in a culture that pumps a message to everyone who's single. What? You're not in a relationship? What's wrong with you? And it's this single stigma that sometimes a person can carry if they listen to that. I mean, think about all the movies that are out there. Think about all the TV shows, Bachelor, Bachelorette, Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? I'm like, okay. Facebook status, well, it's complicated. You know, I mean, everywhere you turn, yeah. Everywhere you turn, you get this message that says, if you're not in a relationship, then something must be wrong with you. I want to tell you this. Just because you're single, it does not mean you're insignificant. Amen. You are not half of a person if you're not in a relationship. Can I tell you? You have everything you need in Jesus. In fact, I teach my daughters this. Baby, you should hide yourself so deep in God that a man will have to search God in order to find you. Are you with me? Hey, singles, single again. Find everything you need in Christ. Hide yourself in Him. And listen, if somebody's interested in you, they're going to have to be interested in Him. You know, understand, embrace purpose in your current season. Otherwise, if you don't, you're going to be insecure. Every time you come to church, you're going to walk through the doors and see all these couples and all these families. You know, I talked to a single the other day that said, you know, the loneliest time for me in the week is right after church is over with on a Sunday. I see everybody leaving. and I go home by myself. I want you to have confidence today. You may be single, but you're not insecure. The Bible says if Jesus is living in you, you have the fullness of the Godhead inside of you. You say, but Mike, well, what if I want to be in a relationship? That's fine. That desire to share life with somebody, it came from God. Now you're going to have to trust God with it. Surrender your singleness to God. A girl told me one time, she said, you know what, Mike? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7 that singleness is a gift. And she said, if that's true, if being single is a gift, I want to know what's the return policy. There's nothing wrong with having a desire for relationship. But I want you to know this. Anything you have to have to be happy other than Jesus is something the devil can use against you. Some of you, the devil is punishing you over your singleness. And today, I want you to know there ain't nothing wrong with you. You may be single, but there's nothing wrong with being single. You're complete in Christ. Second thing, number two, I want you to write down is this. Here's what I tell my kids. Here's what I believe that you need to hear. Number two, follow the standard that's set in God's word. Follow the scriptures here. I mean, think about it. When it comes to relationships, they can be complicated and very confusing. But God gave us an instruction manual to guide us, to navigate us through relationships. And one of the starting points I would say is this, too. You know, if you're seeking to get married, marry a born-again believer. Marry someone who shares the same passion for God that you do. You say, Mike, that's tough. Well, don't take my word for it. The scripture says, check this out, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul said this, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? What union can there be between God's temple and idols? Do you hear these questions? I mean, the Bible's shooting questions. Hey, consider this. Think about this. Whoa, time out, time out. Are you even going the same direction spiritually? But you say, Mike, I met him at a Christian skate night. But Mike, she's a member of the First Church of the Bold and Beautiful. But Mike, I think I have enough faith for both of us. Turn to your neighbor and say, bad idea. But Mike, his dad is a deacon. Somebody said, well, Pastor, you just eliminated seven guys that I was considering. Well, listen, you can thank me later because I just saved you from seven times the pain, the heartache. I saved you from hell seven times over. Trying to help you here. Ladies, you can't kiss a frog and expect to turn him into a prince. He's got to have the same love for Jesus that you have. Hey, question. If she doesn't know the love of God, how is she going to know how to love you? You can't talk about relationships without including God in the equation. Now, I know maybe somebody's here today and maybe you're married already. Maybe you've made decisions before you came to faith and trust in Christ, and now you've had spiritual revelation and you're walking with Jesus, but your spouse isn't. I understand there are all different kinds of scenarios, and the Bible speaks to that. Now, I don't have time to unpack all of that today, but I want to encourage you, follow God's word. Hear God's heart for where you are in your relationships. You know what else I would tell you? Before you say, I do, you better learn to say, I don't. You need to pre-decide what standards of holiness you're going to have in your relationship. When it comes to sexual purity, when it comes to intimacy, you've got to guard your heart. I can't tell you the numbers, the scores of couples that I've counseled, and they were involved in a premarital relationship, and they're broken and busted up into pieces. And they go from one toxic relationship to another toxic relationship. Well, Mike, we practice safe sex. The only safe sex is what God reserved for a husband and a wife. People talk about condoms all the time. Oh, it'll protect you from pregnancy and STDs. I can't listen to this. There's not a condom on the planet that can protect you from a broken heart. Don't give your soul away. Save yourself. And fellas, let me challenge you. Guys, you need to take the lead in sexual purity. That's our responsibility. Our spiritual responsibility as leaders. Don't expect that putting pressure on the girl, putting pressure, and she's got to put on the brakes. No, no, you take responsibility. Ladies, if you can't trust that guy when he's single, he'll break your heart if you marry him. Please hear this. Follow the standards of God's word. There's a reason why God says no to premarital sex. It's not to restrict you. It's to protect you. Third thing I want you to write down, number three. That's why I tell you, and I feel like this is so important. Take your time. Take your time in this thing. Take your time. You see, sometimes we get hung up over, who am I going to marry? Who's the one? Who's the one? Is he the one? Oh, wow, wow, she's looking fine. Oh, wow, check that. What about her? You know, and you kind of role play all these scenarios. Who is it? Who is it? God, just show me who it is. I want you to know that is an important question, who you're supposed to marry. But when is just as important as who. Take your time and build a friendship with someone. That takes the pressure off of the relationship. In fact, I'll just say this. Marry your best friend. You know, Rachel and I dated for 4 years. 4 years. 3 of those years was long distance. We dated each other. And you know what? You know what the distance was good for? It helped me to evaluate her character. I was able to watch it. When I would come in town on the weekends and we'd spend time together, I would watch her. I would watch her at home and how she treated her dad. Somebody said that, hey, watch the girl, how she treats her father, because that's going to be an indication of how she'll treat her husband. Somebody said, hey, watch how a guy treats his mother. It's going to shed some light on how he'll treat his wife. I watched her at home. I watched her at school. She's a hard worker, making the grades. Come on, I got to have a smart chick. Come on, she got to be smart, she's going to hang with me. Because she's making a lot of decisions. I got to be able to trust her with some of that stuff, you know? Watched her. I watched her at church. Oh, I watched her. Yes, I did. I did. But Mike, you're supposed to be focused on Jesus. I watched her. During worship, I want to see, okay, is she going to serve God? Is she going to serve God with or without me? Is she going to love God more than she'll love me? I can trust that kind of love. Don't be doing it just because I'm around. Will she stay with Jesus regardless of my decision with her? I watched her. Watched her with her friends. Was it all about her? Guys, run a check on the girl's roommates. Ladies, check him out and see how he's like when he's just with his friends. Friendship is a big deal. Take your time. You know, I read last week, did you know that a male horsefly can fly up to 90 miles an hour when pursuing a female? I mean, think about it. That's a whole lot of speed. That's acceleration. Can I tell you this? When you get in a hurry, things get blurry. Slow down. Put the brakes on. Don't rush things. You know, other people will place expectations on you when you're single. Oh, when are you going to? And they'll give all kind of recommendations trying to play Cupid in your life. Next thing you know, here you are, you're 25. You're 25 years old, and you're already, you're starting to get uncomfortable. Wow, 25. Man, I'm getting invitations to all of my friends' weddings. I'm the bridesmaid in 3 consecutive weddings now, and I don't even have a single date. 25 years old, you get a little nervous. Then you hit 30, and you start to worry. I throw myself into my career. And man, who can I share life with? I better hurry up. And by the time you hit 40, it's like sheer panic. It's bad. It is bad. It is bad. All by myself. I don't want to be. Wait, there's a guy. He's the last train that's leaving the station. I better grab a hold of him or I'm going to be alone. I'd rather be alone with Jesus than in a relationship I was not supposed to be in. Take your time. Take your time. The last thing, and please hear my heart on this, the last thought, and I want to pray over you. If you want to find the right person, you got to be the right person. You want to find the right one, make a decision today. I'm going to be the right one. Who are you becoming in this search for companionship? Look inside and say, God, all this list, all these things that I'd like to have in somebody else, Lord, are they actively growing in me? Because if you find the right person, but you're not the right person, that's not going to work either. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Scripture says this, and here, I love this thought. Here's the picture I want to leave you with. Scripture says in Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God. Didn't say seek Mr. Right. Didn't say, hey, check out that drop dead gorgeous girl. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. So you know what you do? You set your eyes on the prize. You chase after Jesus. Everything inside of you, you're not holding anything back. Lord, I know that my purpose and my destiny is in your hands. God, I'm trusting you. I'm pursuing you. And you look to the left and you look to the right and see if anybody's running with you. If you don't see anybody chasing Jesus, you keep running. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Oh, but Lord, when? When, God, when? You know, the Bible says that Jacob worked 7 years to pay for Rachel. I've got my Rachel. I've worked 15 years. I still can't afford her. But Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel. But the Bible says his love for her was so great, it seemed but just a few days. Just a few days. You keep running after Jesus, and then you look to the left and the right, and if you see somebody running, hey, how are you? You keep going. Don't change your direction just because you see somebody chasing you. Don't abort the mission. Stay on course. Chase Jesus. Y'all start waving at each other. Hey, all right. We're going that outreach together. Oh, yeah, baby. Servolution. Bringing it to a whole nother level. Woo! You're chasing Jesus, running the same direction, running the same pace. And you say, hey, let's just run this race together. You and me will serve the purposes of God for the rest of our days. You want to find the right one? Be the right one. Jesus is the right one.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.